This is The View from Tab. I'm Jim Menick.
I'm John Cruz.
I'm Mike Beats.
And it's just the three of us again tonight. We've lost Chris Palmer. I don't know what he's
lost
doing.
Lost him?
We've lost him, and we'll try to find him in time for Yale.
This is the vintage collection.
What?
That was a Star Wars action figure reference. Beats laughed.
How many people are going to be understand?
People who are listening to a debate podcast, I bet there are some people who would understand. Come on.
I certainly hope so.
Ed O'Hare, I know you're listening, and I bet you understand. Okay.
All right. Well, anyway, we lost Chris Palmer. He has gone into the ether of his day job, and it was great to have him with us, and I think we'll have him back again. But we're going to continue with the subject that we were talking about last week. By the way, I will refer people to the blog that we have, which is, I better take a look because I can't remember what it's called, theviewfromtab.blogspot.com. There have been some very interesting comments there. We may or may not get to those comments tonight. We will certainly get to them, if not tonight, next time. But if you have your own comments, feel free to put them there.
And the ones that there are quite good. So I actually
recommend
people go check them out if we don't discuss them tonight.
Yeah, they are good. And we do encourage people to add comments. And as you know, we put Palmer on, we had Adam Torsen, and we'll put people on this program if they are, in a position to be put on. I think the qualification is owning something remotely resembling a microphone. We'll get you onto the show. So let us know if you want to.
I'll say I think Palmer's microphone, I think, might be subpar. I might have to send him one of my.
I mean, I realize you have a lot of extras. I mean, you can send him the THX 1138.
No, I'm getting the THX 1138 one.
I already have it.
Moving right along. Okay, where we left off on the public forum discussion, and what we wanted to discuss next, what I wanted to discuss next was the topics. And first of all, just how having a topic that changes every month, sort of defines, and we didn't talk about this at all, sort of defines the activity. I mean, each debate activity that we have. I mean, let's just talk about. I mean, policy has a resolution that lasts for a year. We already know what next year's policy resolution is. LD theoretically has. Every 2 months, although in practice there's three resolutions. There's the January, there's the September, October, there's November, December, and then there's the TOC one, which seems to be argued everywhere. Plus, there's a little extra thrown.
Well,
on
in
top
California,
of that.
They just do September, October, all the way until March, April.
Wow. There's a lot. We have here in the Northeast, we have our Modest Novice topic, which is for the first 3 months.
The Nationals topic is a separate topic.
Yeah, so we have other things going on. But, I think when I first started doing this, I mean, back in the mid-90s, there was a topic every 2 months. There were extra topics in LD. There were, like, the Bronx had its own topic. The New York State Tournament had its own topic. And
Harvard.
Harvard had it. Wow, I forgot about that. Yeah. So, I mean, there was like a lot of different topics, which I really liked. I have to admit, I really liked having new topics. It was fun to have new topics all the time. I really enjoyed that. And I never thought about it much. I mean, it was just the way that it was. But now with public forum, I mean, by definition, you have a new topic every month. I don't think there's, I mean, I know there's a little finagling, but for the most part, people really do run the new topic every month. So, I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, how do you think that affects the whole activity?
Well, I just want to jump in and say something really quick about this because I sort of referred to this last time. So Bronx Science next year is going to have full-on novices in public forum instead of having people who formerly did another event do public forum. And I've decided that the topic rotation is a major, if not the major, both selling point and distinction between these events that is understandable to a freshman with no debate experience. And I think that's important to note. I think that the way that topics rotate and the frequency with which they rotate really help define the activity. I'll quickly say that I think that having a new topic every month is one thing that I guess in theory, well, it does two things. I mean, first off, it obviously keeps current events issues theoretically, you know, in the forefront, right? Because the topics are so current and they're
theoretically, it ought to be damned current. They ought to just have come up with it on what the when did they come out with them? The 15th of the month prior?
The first of the month.
Okay, so that's relevant. I mean, they ought to be something that shouldn't be so
and they shouldn't. That it goes it away seems that quickly. To me that if the idea is to have all these current events, it shouldn't be decided the previous year, right? It should be based on, like, there should be a topic coming about the president's decision to open the East Coast to oil drilling, for example. Yeah. I mean, I could see a topic like that. Mm-hmm. So I think this does two things. First off, it keeps the current events idea in the forefront, right? And the other thing it does is if there's a concern that public forum debate could become too fast, too heavy of a research burden, the constantly changing topic will prevent what we see in policy debate in LD, theoretically, right? Like there just won't be enough time to accumulate a tub's worth of evidence because the topic will change. You might only be debating one tournament on that topic or two tournaments on that topic, right? So that kind of topic rotation, I think, probably is also part of keeping the activity.
Well, if the whole point of having speed is to get more information in, it requires you have more information to get in. And you can, you know, if the topic has just changed last week, okay, you're starting all over and you keep starting all over again. I mean, there's just a limit to how much information you're going to have. So the speed thing has to be mitigated by simple intrinsic virtue of having nothing that much to say that going fast is going to help you to say.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't necessarily like some of the topics that I've seen, and sometimes I think they've been too thin a slice of current events. But I do like the fact that it forces you to just have something new all the time. So there's always something I think that's very interesting. I think that is a real plus for the activity to have that kind of change on a monthly basis. I mean, frankly, I get tired of, I mean, we had a debate meeting last night and there wasn't that, we were talking about the cat nats topic, but people are going to be running the Jan Feb topic again this weekend at our local tournament, at Lakeland tournament. It's just like, there's nothing left to say.
Robin, I mean, they are everywhere basically.
Yeah. And there isn't much left to say. I mean, there is, I guess if you're deep, dark and, you know, buried into this, you probably can come up with something, but I'm not. And so there's no discussion left on sanctions. And so you're sort of starved for something different to talk about. So I like having something different to talk about.
Yeah. I think that as more people in LD are starting to run parametricized cases that resemble more like policy plans, I think there seems to be more room for a topic to last a little bit longer. I think for this topic, I mean, economics, given that there's no, you know, specific actor, no specific sanction, no specific scenario, this topic seems to be okay for the September-October topic, the January-February topic to last all the way through the TOC, and then all the tournaments that are sort of also we do it at those tournaments as well. I couldn't imagine doing jury nullification, for example, from the middle of December until the end of May or whatever.
No.
It seems like it would be a long one.
Yeah, it's a very. I think that's a very.
That's a good point. Yeah, this is a rich
small
topic.
Ground topic.
But that's a new. I mean, that's something that the NFL changed its ballot three or four years ago, and I think it was actually Victor's suggestion to that committee that Scott put together to let the voting be where you choose which resolution you want to debate that on, so that it made sense that you would pick a topic that has a lot of area in it for the January-February resolution.
Yeah, you're going to go all over. I mean, you can have every kind of sanction from Walmarts to Iran. You know, so not that I'm necessarily recommending Walmarts, but I mean, you know, it does have the possibility for a lot of in and out, shall we say, that is important. I mean, that's about all I think about when I do make my, you know, voting on those topics. I'm thinking January, February, I have to live with this forever. So I go at it from that point of view. I don't care too much about the others so much. Although I do tend to think that the topic I'm voting for nationals ought to be more like the topic I would have voted for in 1987. I don't know why I feel that way, but I tend to think of a more, you know, communism versus capitalism kind of thing rather than something as specific as economic sanctions.
Yeah, I sort of think of that too, like for the nationalist topic to be a topic that's more of the traditional conflict of Lincoln-Douglas debate. And then for November and December and for March and April, I would vote for things that are small, where you can sort of get the debate out quickly. Right, yeah. Usually it's very common sense, which side has to uphold what, and then...
I think the jury nullification did that for the March-April, because sure. I think we had it once, well, twice. We had it at our local CatNats qualifier and the local and the national qualifier.
And I think, for example, there was this topic a little while back about parliamentary system of government versus the U.S. presidential system, and that I voted for as my top November-December, because I thought that was like the ultimate November-December, right? Like that topic would get stale quickly, but I thought it was a really cool topic.
Yeah, November-December, everybody has like one or two main debates, and that's about it kind of thing. So, yeah, that works for there. We're only going to debate a couple of times. So I guess that really – I mean, I haven't thought in any great detail about why I'm – I mean, what is my, you know, prioritization factors for, you know, my criteria for the voting. And this sort of makes sense when we start talking about it the way we're talking. I mean, I think I intuitively did this, but actually now I know why I was doing what it is that I was doing to come up with something like that. But yeah, that brings us back to – so the public forum, which is the topic of the day, with the topic changing all the time. But it does require – I mean, as a coaching business and as a student doing this, I mean, it's theoretically it starts moving close to the extemp mentality. And, I mean, we talked about those messages. One of those messages said, you know, have the topic announced that day kind of thing. But you know, the idea where we're built, I mean, the Lincoln-Douglas person is thinking nowadays of being a debater, you know, learning all the ins and outs of rhetoric and doing the things that a policy debater does. And, you know, I have to comment on that. We have this ability to send messages to each other. And Mr. Beach will not be with us.
Oh, come on. I was just going to fill the air. Why do you have
to? Mr. Beach is not going to be with us for a few moments because he just sent us a message saying he had to go to the bathroom.
I was going to do this diplomatically.
I was very diplomatic.
I told him not to even tell you that I would just fill the air with you and no one would notice.
I mean, it's just very human of him.
Beach is not going to listen to the playback. So he'll never know you said this. That is
but
so
I mean, ridiculous. It's like people say, oh my God, I didn't know Beast went to the bathroom. I mean, that's just not going to happen. All right. What was I thinking about? What was I saying? I have no idea. We're talking about getting them.
Trying to be policy debaters.
Okay, yeah, the Lincoln-Douglas people. So we're talking last night about the CatNats topic at my meeting, and we're talking about plan and counterplan, pick, and all this kind of stuff, which is like, what the hell are you people talking about? Yeah, so we're really getting into that, which I always admired about policy that Lincoln Douglas didn't have, which is all the real understanding of what arguments are all about and how to run them at the level of what is that argument, absent what the argument's actually talking about, but just, you know, what kind of argument is it? So I like that kind of stuff going on. Whereas if you have this topic changing all the time and you get the mentality of an extemper, then really what you have in your head is not how to debate so much, although you'll obviously have that. To some extent, but you'll have much more. You actually will be arguing about the stuff because, you know, to actually succeed, you have to know the stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that is a good thing. I mean, that's the one thing I don't like about Lincoln Douglas now is how far removed we have gotten from the stuff. I like the stuff. I would love to sit there and listen to people argue about whatever it is they're supposed to be arguing about. If it's economic sanctions, argue about economic sanctions. If it's jury nullification, whatever the case may be, argue about that stuff. And I mean, admittedly, I don't judge that much. I think I've probably literally so far one round on this January, February topic. And it was not about the sanctions per se, but it was about deontology versus utilitarianism. Okay, I'm fine with that in a general sense, but I would, but at some point, are we ever going to talk about economic sanctions? Yeah. So anyhow, that's what I like about this. And I think what it does that's different from, absolutely radically different from the other debates, is that you have to know stuff, and you have to know it in some depth as compared
well,
to saying...
Well, here's something interesting. I'm going to sort of counterpoint that. I've never thought about it this way, but in a way, LD is sort of the odd man out, because I actually think policy's year-long topic has the same advantage, just in a different way. I mean, the knowledge that you get on that topic is unbelievably...
But that deep. Knowledge is not just on... The knowledge is... I mean, I've listened to people talk about their policy cases, and that knowledge may start at that topic, but it really branches
well,
out.
Well, sure. No, I'm
agreeing with you, but it's like fantastic knowledge that is gained as a result of being...
Yeah, so I actually have never really thought of LD being like the odd one... You know, out, but in a way, it kind of is, right? Like, because
there, you can take all 75 people who were able to get into the TOC and wake them up in the middle of the night and ask them like 7 questions about sanctions, and they'll get 2 right. They don't really know about sanctions. They will all know about all the ins and outs of debating and stuff like that, but will they really know about sanctions? I don't think so. Will they really know about Korea? Will they really know about, Iran? Will they really know about any of this stuff? I don't think so. I absolutely think that what they will know is how to debate. And I think they'll know how to debate fine, but they won't really know the content. Whereas in the public forum area, they will know the content. They have no choice. You have to know the content. Unfortunately, when the rounds actually take place, because of the various lengths of speeches and stuff, there isn't that much content, but you still have to know. You have to come up with something that is a reasonable argument, a couple of reasonable points, and with any luck, based on some kind of premise, some kind of theoretical structure, value structure or whatever, that makes this why you want to do that stuff. So I like that about it. I would love to be able to go into, I would like to coach public forum. I never will. It's not going to be my team doesn't work that way, but I'd love to go in, and every month we have a whole new subject area, and we talk about that, and I'm able to, point them in different directions to get information, and we learn all about that, and then before you know it, we're doing some other area. I think that's a lot of fun. I think that's a good thing.
No, I agree.
So, we have that. Okay, well...
Well, I wanted to say something. I think that there are instances... in both policy and LD debate, where a kid is going to find something they really like, and it might be an idea that they can use for multiple topics. Where we do use ideas over and over again, and they do become, sort of mini experts on it. I think that the dean of the law school at NYU commented once that that it's the equivalent that at least in college policy debate, doing a topic is the equivalent of getting a master's degree on that topic, just the amount of work you're doing and how much you have to do. But I think there's some truth to the idea that the kids learn how to debate more than they learn about a topic. But some kids are particularly moved or by a certain topic, and
I think people more tend to go into, they're not necessarily moved by a topic, but they're moved by, they've read Foucault or something like that, and how to apply that to 27 different topics rather than the interior topic, the stuff themselves, which is not the worst thing in the world, but it does become, I have a hammer, so everything's a nail. But, on the other hand, they do certainly learn some good stuff about, if they pick somebody good, if they pick somebody who is a reasonable person who warrants a lot of study, like a Foucault or something like that, then they get a lot out of that. But they'll apply that more than digging into the content of, this from my experience, more than digging into the content of the resolution, they'll dig into an approach to resolutions in general. So I can apply Foucault to half the topics, let's say, which means I will apply it to three quarters of the topic and hope for the best kind of thing. Yeah, there's worse things. I think there's worse things than that. In a way, that's a hangover from the old kind of LD where people were always running, you know, locker mill or something like that, regardless of how relevant it was.
But I mean, how true is this about all LDers? Is this like a national circuit bubble thing we're talking about? Because I still think that there are a lot of kids who get really into the topic. They're not really traveling. They're not. I mean, yes, I understand that these arguments in the national circuit like percolate down to everything. But I still think that there are a lot of kids who approach LD resolutions in a way that is very topic specific. Maybe I'm wrong on this, but I don't think I am. Right? I mean, I think what you're describing is true, and it happens with a lot of debaters, but it does not happen with all debaters.
We spend a lot of time being pretty specific in our topic research. I mean, we tend to have cases that are a little more parametricized. I mean, the stuff that we recycle is more like framework arguments and those sorts of things. But when it comes down to the actual having to know the ins and outs of a resolution, I mean, I've got a bunch of kids who, all of whom seem to be really into history, so they like to research, examples of the topic and things like that. I mean, especially on the old the immunization topic, they love that one because of all the diseases they got to research. But
speaking of what, I realize this has nothing to do with anything, but I was just actually yesterday there's a piece on NPR and they were talking about people who were going to the doctor and they had this strange disease the doctors had never seen before, and it was measles. I mean, actually, doctors. There are pediatricians nowadays who have never seen a case of measles. And so there was an outbreak of measles somewhere and they had no idea what it was. It was the most remarkable thing. Yeah. This brings you back to September, October, whatever it was. So the topics, I mean, there's no question that the topics differ from activity to activity. And it's easy to see to some extent how it's going to have an effect. You know, if you have a topic for a year, you have a topic for a few months, you have a topic every time you turn around. So that brings us to the question of the choice of the topics. And I think we have talked a little bit about this already for the LD. We haven't talked about it on the policy level. I mean, the policy, it seems to be a long process of determining what that.
It's not actually done by the National Forensic League. It's like a really weird throwback, right? Because it's the National Federation of High Schools.
Yeah, it's the same people that I think do rules for like football.
Sports. It's really weird.
Really? Okay.
It's actually the reason why the NFL can no longer give a sweepstakes award at NFL Nationals, because I think the NHS or the NFHS said no other sport does a national champion, so you can't either in terms of a school. So,
well, we could talk about sweepstakes as a different, because I hate detest.
I don't
sweepstakes.
Of course,
I would love to have that debate
next time, some other time.
No, seriously, I think that that's a very.
I think it's a good subject. I agree that it is a good subject, but I'm perfectly happy not to have it at NetNets. But okay, so that comes from some other place, because I get the impression that that thing is poured over at great length, and when it finally comes out. There is, people may or may not like it, but they certainly had an ample opportunity to comment on it, to contribute to it, to talk about it, to argue about it, et cetera, et cetera. And then it comes out and you got plenty of time to work. Like I say, the next one, there's been stuff coming out over the last week or two, at the least, position paper. I mean, I know Stephen Burchard has written papers already and stuff like that. So there's stuff out there for a topic that's going to be run in September. I guess it's going to be taught in the summer.
The complaint that people have that I've heard about how the topic is chosen doesn't have to do with the time that's put into the wording and to the, the paper that has to be written, the bibliography that has to be put together, all the stuff that the sort of due diligence that has to be done for something to be presented. I think the problem that people have is that the vote is done by the each state gets a vote, and the person that does the voting for each state may or may not have anything or care at all about debate.
I mean, I know that they're asking for my input and my vote all the time, and I never do. I mean, what do I know? You know, so I don't.
Well, the voting is done at the meet, the NFHS meeting, which I know that the NFL gets a vote. Like, the NFL has one vote, right? So when you vote, or I think that's how it is. So when you vote for the NFL, when you vote, you go into a pool, but the NFL gets one vote. The NDCA gets one vote, and then each state gets one vote. And then
remarkable that they get it. That's remarkable. I mean, that they would get what seemed to be perfectly good topics with that kind of system.
Well, I think that people weren't happy with the topic that was chosen this year, and they didn't necessarily like the wording either because of, I don't remember. I was just listening to a conversation at Woodward about it, about the coaches saying that, you know, that they take good topics. It's the same complaint about LD. Very good topic areas. It's just that the wording seems, you know, that they add this weird wording into it that finally gets voted on by the NFHS.
Well, it seemed to me, I mean, that you're going to have to multiply the number of tubs by five when you have five different countries that you can choose from or whatever. Seems very complicated, but like I said, I don't know. I don't know if that's true. But anyhow, so you have that process, which is far removed from the LD process, which is people coming in the middle of the summer and coming up with these topics, and I guess a couple of months of figuring them out, and then we all vote on them. Now, what is the process, which I know there is a controversy over, and we'll get to that in a second, but the process theoretically for public forum topics, does anybody know what that is?
Doesn't it work that originally I know the executive director just had the power to set the topic, I think.
That's Scott?
Now there is a committee that advises on the topic, but I believe the executive director still has final discretion.
So he has. Go ahead, Mike. You were going to say.
No, I think that's absolutely. I think that it's true that the director does have the final say, but I think that it's also true that there's always been like it wasn't Tim.
Tim Averill.
Mm-hmm. Didn't their topic get chosen? I mean, I thought that he's always sort of been involved with choosing.
Idea that he was involved too.
I don't know that he still is, actually.
He may not be, but the idea that there is a committee informing Scott and then Scott makes a determination, that sounds right to me. I mean, I think that's probably what it is. And it has to be done fairly close to the vest. So theoretically, you're going to have a month where stuff happens. And at the end of that month, you pick like the most interesting stuff that happens. So that's your topic a month from now. I mean, I gather that's the process theoretically. You know, that ought to be the process that goes, hoping that, I mean, there've been one or two topics I know that have in fact been resolved in the month between announcing the topic and having to argue the topic, where something dramatic has happened to make the topic sort of a moot kind of thing. But most of the time, it seems to be okay. Some of them seem to repeat themselves. There seem to be a few that I've heard before, and I don't pay a hell of a lot of attention, but there have been a couple that haven't they done this one already?
So. Well, I think that, I mean, that this sort of goes to the current controversy regarding the choosing of the current topic, that, you know, that this organization that has given money to the NFL, I don't know exactly how it works, but since I guess they've been involved, there have been three topics now that have to do with unions and that have to do with, you know, workers' rights or whatever. And this organization happens to be, you know, they also happen to give money to the Cato Institute to do research on unions and things like that, too. So I think that some of the complaint is that the topic, when you sort of sell it to an organization, then that's going to limit the scope of what's being debated, because that organization then gets to use the topics that ostensibly that they would want debated.
So in other words, it's sponsored topics, and the sponsor actually gets to suggest them, and presumably to get the money, we have to accept them. I mean, obviously, there's back and forth.
Yeah, I don't know the exact agreement in that.
Right.
You know.
And I think, you know, I'm not 100% sure about this, but wasn't there a big controversy about this in the 90s with an LD topic once?
Yes.
I don't remember.
We debated the the Paralympic topics, and the resolution was really one-sided. It was that students or that people that something like
it's a disabilities topic. Yes. I know this topic.
I vaguely remember this.
I'm going to find this topic right now because I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, so this came to us from a somebody who had a horse in the race.
Yes, the Paralympic organization sponsored it, I believe.
I have to admit I didn't know who the organization was because I just happened to look at the April PF topic, which is about government unions are a good thing, I think, something like that. And I looked at this topic and I was underwhelmed. I thought I might have some kids debating and it turns out that I won't. But usually I look at a topic and say, you know, there's an interesting point here. There's something interesting. I mean, like the topic for cat gnats. I mean, there is some interesting. I don't like the wording, but I think that the topic, if we could have like the perfect wording, would have interesting stuff going for it. Whereas I'm looking at the, I just don't give a crap about government unions. I mean, and I don't see anything about them that strikes me as interesting enough to argue about. I just, like I say, I just don't care. I've never had a discussion about government unions with anyone in my life. I've never read articles about government unions because I just don't care. I mean, maybe that's just me and it's a failing of my part, but it seems like an awful, what? I mean, it's like, what? Yeah. So, I mean, if that would explain.
And I think it's the third one that has, in the last year, that has been debated about, because they had one about teachers and merit pay, and they had another one about the EFCA resolution about Employment Choice, Free Choice Act or whatever. All of them had to do with unions and the right to organize.
Yeah, but I mean, the government unions are a unique kind of situation in a way. But like I said, I just don't care. I mean, I have some marginal thoughts on unions altogether. But so you're saying that these people are doing it not because they're a union, but because they're interested in the subject of unions because of the Cato Institute.
Well, this organization, I forget what it's called. I mean, I just did some very preliminary look into it just when the controversy, and I haven't done anything much beyond it. But it looks like it's a pretty anti-union organization, and they commissioned a study by the Cato Institute that just happens to be on the on their free resources for public forum debaters, this Cato Institute report that talks about how unions are really bad and how unions are, you know, are bad for workers and bad for the economy and this sorts of thing. And of course it's debate. So you do get both sides. Like, you have to know how to debate both sides. However, if the free resources that are being provided by this organization are the anti-union resources, then, and those are the ones that are front and center, then I think that they get to frame the debate how they want to
Providing resources?
Yes. They provide this Cato Institute study.
I know that LD resources, I love the LD resources, which I haven't looked at too much lately, but the LD resources used to be great because like, okay, we're going to be, you know, here's the topic. We're going to give you a brief on the topic. So the topic would be announced. And then about 3 months later, you know, this half-assed brief would appear just when you're ready to do the next topic. You know, so, I mean, they weren't exactly helping you out, which really pissed me off because I wrote one of them once. And, you know, so I've worked hard and I came up with this brief on the subject and, like, they announced the topic and nothing. You know, so I published it myself. You know, I said, here it is, you know, because it was good material and it was neutral enough. But, I mean, they're actually providing material. I mean, if the NFL is providing material.
The Arthur N. Rupp Foundation. Mm-hmm. And on the front page, if you click on the of the NFL topic, you can go right to the Rupp Scholars. And anyone that places well at NFL Nationals is called the Rupp Scholars. Yeah. And the Arthur N. Rupp Foundation then provides these resources. And they have this research portal that you can go to. And it provides these, these links or whatever for – to find information about it.
So I would imagine that, I mean, the NFL position, as you've already said, I mean, it's a debate, so we have to have both sides anyhow. So we're going to come down in the middle, no matter how you slice it. Plus, we get money out of it. So
that would, you know, be, and I have, I guess, I have no problem with. I mean, the NFL needs money, and it's a nonprofit organization. It needs money. I have absolutely no problem with the idea of selling resolutions. That said, I think that there should be transparency in, you know, what exactly is being sold. I think that that's just, if we're teaching our own debaters to be, if part of debate is to be critical thinkers and to ask questions and to question authority, and these are all things that we want debaters to do, and that's one of the skills that we teach debaters, and to analyze, you know, systems of power and thing like that, then I think that it's it should be that the NFL should probably you know, provide that same information as well too. And I mean, you know, what if this was done by the I don't know, any other organization that was that was a lot more controversial, I guess. What if they wanted to buy a resolution?
Right.
Like the Westboro Baptist Church, for example. What if they wanted to buy a resolution? You know, I think that there would, that there should be, and I don't even think necessarily that it has to be something that's voted on by the community. I think Scott should have the right to choose. I mean, he's ultimately responsible for the well-being of the National Forensic League, and I don't think that can be done by committee, and I think Scott ought to have the ability to do that. I just think that it should be open about, you know, what it is, and if people have complaints about it, they should be able to air their complaints without any sort of.
Yeah, I think, I mean, as soon as, at the point at which it's open, I mean, I think then the other point, that it's always going to be both sides of the, you know, argument are going to be presented, almost is a, you know, helps whatever, no matter how theoretically biased the organization may be that's putting up the money. The fact is, we're going to argue both sides, so that that organization only benefits insofar as people in the debate community will know a lot about this topic, but they will in no way, shape, or form believe in one side or the other just because they happen to debate it. If anything, they'll get so confused. I mean, the more I listen to any particular topic, the more I'm able to present either side and have less and less of you know, commitment to one side or the other. Although that may be more of an LD thing than a public forum thing. I mean, I see some of the public forum topics and I can say yes or no. You know, whereas with an LD topic, I can sort of intuitively sort of feel affirmative or negative, but then somebody comes up with a good argument for the other side. Ah, yeah, well, that's good too. You know, and I'm pretty, I tend to be more, you know, swayable, but because of the nature of the resolutions or something like that. Whereas if you, I mean, something as narrow as whether we, you know, government unions are a good thing. You know, I don't think it's going to be pointing to me any other great underlying concern of society as a whole. So I'm probably going to look at this stuff and come up with an opinion and be sort of done with it. And I would imagine people who are judging it, I mean, the poor parents who are going to be tossed into the ring of judging this thing are going to have, what are we talking about? And then they're going to, oh, well, yeah, whatever. And then they'll come up with an opinion, and, you know, because the lack of interest may have something to do with it, because it is, it's so, talk about parametric, this is so minute and so specific a topic here. I mean, teachers, if I talk about teachers union, I mean, the effect of teachers unions on me as a citizen who pays taxes for education and so forth, and, you know, and we all care about what kids are going to learn and stuff like that, whereas with government workers, it's just, you know, I don't know, it's just, it's not the same thing. It's absolutely not the same thing.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, I don't, is that like firefighters and police departments? And
yeah, I mean, some things have relevance to my life, or just intrinsic, you know, constitutional relevance, or, you know, you know, legal relevance, or whatever the case may be. Like the CatNats topic, you know, you start talking about this. I mean, I love anything where the Constitution comes into play, because what is the Constitution? We have so many different ways of looking at the Constitution and so many ways of looking at rights and so forth and so on, that just the ability to discuss this stuff is fun. Whereas unions, well, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Well, I mean, to go to your point about, you know, whether or not the topic is too specific or too broad, I would, you know, it's, this notion of has done more good than bad, or is good for society. I mean, those are, I mean, that's very broad. Whereas, you know, there can be topics that are more, I mean, those, the number of public unions that exist is probably pretty large. And they're probably, I mean, in a world of debate where there's a tendency to just stack examples up against each other in public forum debate, it seems like more care should be put into providing some sort of decision calculus or guidance in the resolution, as opposed to, well, like the affirmative action topic, they did in March, affirmative action to promote equal opportunity in the United States is justified. There, at least, you're talking about this idea of equal opportunity. There's a, you know, there's some sort of standard that being equal opportunity.
And it's had somewhere. I judged some rounds on that. Had somewhere to go. Yeah.
Yeah, and whereas the February topic, which was in the United States, organized political lobbying does more harm than good, you're just asking for examples to be stacked up. And on balance, government employee unions have a positive impact on the United States.
That is so vague. That is just,
it's huge.
It's nothing. There's no,
what does positive impact mean?
More harm than good.
And where you have a style of debate that only has, you know, not much, where there's a speech that's only a minute long, how are you going to provide any sort of standard for what positive impact is, other than, I mean, it almost begs for people to speak fast and for people to just list examples.
But then, they're just going to get more, but you don't have the time to do it. But when the thing, I mean, I always maintain that the 4 minutes of a public forum speech is an LD speech, an LD affirmative, without the framework. The 2 minutes would have been devoted to the framework. So, and at the point where you've taken out framework, we have, as you say, no decision calculus unless it's built into the resolution, which I would suggest that would be a good thing for them to do, is to, because I don't know if the activity itself is going in any particular direction, to have the decision calculus just come inherently out of the debates themselves, as we have. I mean, you know, the whole thing about value criterion was applied after the fact with LD, and it took, you know, and I don't see anything comparable like that happening in public forum. I think something should happen like that, and I recommend that something be argued like that.
I mean, if I were coaching public forum, I would spend a significant amount of time just trying to provide some decision calculus at the top.
Yeah, I mean, but that's my point when I have people actually listen to me on the subject is, you know, you have to just pretend that you have a value criterion. Don't call it that, but pretend that you do and argue toward that. Forget it. I mean, the facts are fine, but they have to be toward something else. They have to be in aid of something else. They have to be in aid of some overriding or underarching concern. And that will help. And most public forum, I think, because nowadays the public forum kids who have been coming up, as we said, don't necessarily come from anywhere else. And John, you're going to be doing this. You have public forum kids that are coming from public forum, so they don't have the experience of trying to have it go anywhere. You know? So
I mean,
without that,
I think what's interesting is, like, policy debate, right? I mean, like, a lot of debaters don't debate the stock issues anymore. Right? They're not stock issues debaters. But the idea of having stock issues that the judge knows to turn to, I mean, while I'm not saying that they should necessarily be like topicality, inherency, et cetera, makes a lot of sense to me in public forum. I kind of wish that judges, I mean, if you're going to have really short speech times and it's going to be really hard to both have a decision-making calculus and your arguments in these speeches, it would be great for there to be some sort of structure that the judge is supposed to look to. Because I have to be honest with you, I've sat through some public forum judge training from some very, very respected public forum coaches. And I don't really hear a consistent message to the judges about how they're supposed to evaluate a round. I don't really know what to tell judges.
I tell people this vague nonsense that I try to, because I do that, do give training, but I'm very vague. I have a question. I mean, we talk about the stock issues in policy. I mean, I think anyone listening to this knows what it is, but you have, you know, inherency and topicality and so forth, which is a handful of very specific ideas on which you can evaluate around. Did they, I don't, I, I admit that I debated policy back in, you know, the 1920s.
I'm pretty sure that when you were debating it, there were stock issues.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
It's called shits. It's called solvency. Right. Solvency, harms, inherency, topicality, and significance.
I guess we must. I don't recall that at all. But
yeah, you must have done. I mean,
but my question being, were these always part of this, or are these an application that come in later?
I think that they were applications that came later on. What does it mean in order for a policy change to happen, the affirmative must show, like the burden of proof. To meet that burden of proof, they have to show that there is a significant harm. They have to show that there's nothing being done about it right now in the status quo, that being inherency, and they need to show that their plan will solve the problem.
Right.
Those are the burdens of proof there has to be in order for you to take an affirmative action.
Right. So every judge knows this, and we have...
even if it came out later in policy, I don't think it came out after you.
Yeah, I'm debating in this.
Like real. I mean, we have old debate textbooks at Bronx Science that are, they talk about the stock issues.
I would look into the Zarefsky Patterson book, and it might be in
there. Yeah. But that's old.
I remember debating policy, and frankly, it was a lot like debating public forum. Yeah, you know, I didn't do it that much. I only did it for like one season, but.
Regardless,
it's a lot different.
It's been around for a long time, and it's like a definite, concrete thing.
Yeah. The thing is, there's a concrete thing. It's not built into your arguments, as in some, you know, as in LD, where I'm saying, okay, this is the framework on which you're going to judge this, and now here's my stuff. I mean, it's just okay. In policy, you know what the framework is already. Except now, Chris, there's a lot of other things that go on. But they play off of a very long and accepted. You know, a long-term and accepted structure that everybody understands.
That just comes from, I mean, a lot of that has to do with the fact that there's, you know, that there was a journal dedicated to argumentation, and there still is, you know, where it's written about in policy debate, and there's college policy debate. There are people whose profession is policy debate, and LD doesn't have that, for better or for worse, and public forum certainly doesn't have that for better. You don't know what the burdens are. We still debate about what the burdens are in Lincoln Douglas debate.
But at least we do put them on the table, and we try to come up with some determination, whereas a public forum, nobody even thinks about this. I mean, it's just, well, it's 45% versus 22%. 45% is better, and I win.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Well, it would make sense for them to try to build. I like how they did that affirmative action one, that they said that equal opportunity is sort of the standard, and does affirmative action meet that standard?
Put that actually into the resolution. Does this do this as compared to that vague? Is it good? Is it bad? Is it better? Is it worse? But does this achieve this particular end? Then the framework's built in, and so you don't miss the 2 minutes. I know what I have to argue. I know what I have to prove. Not that it's a good thing, but that it does that thing, that it does provide equal opportunity, that it does do this, that, or the other thing. And I think that would be a great thing that they should think about putting in. Like, I think we're all in agreement. I couldn't care less about whether somebody puts up money or not. I mean, as we said, it's a non-profit organization, and they need to get money from somewhere. And yeah, if somebody wants to, you know, buy in resolutions, let them do it. But it should be transparent. I agree with Mike. I mean, we all ought to know this. So say, okay, but that's where it comes from. Fine, no big deal. You know, at the point where it's not transparent, then it's not good. But it, you know, as long as everybody's well aware that this is what's happening, whether that's the best way to do it, I don't know. But then again, I don't know what the best way is for NFL to make money. You know, that's up for the NFL to determine, not for me to. You know, try to second guess them. I have no idea what their finances are. I wouldn't, you know, they're, but I know they're not, you know, it's not, you know, Acorn or something, you know, or whatever, you know, so.
Thank God it's not
Acorn. I mean, I've tried to bring hookers in, but, you know, it's never worked out. All right, well, we've actually reached a stopping point, I guess. We've actually reached enough time. Well, look at that.
Oh, look at who just signed on.
Okay, Chris Palmer.
Wait a second. Let me...
Are you bringing him in?
I'll just bring him in for 1 second here. Let's... wait a second. Where do I do this? Hold on. I don't know what's going to happen. Everybody just...
well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a great broadcast.
We're just going to... Do-do-doom. And do-do-do-doom. And let me start this. And it should still be recording.
Oh, Does this mean that they're going to hear the ring? This is like really dramatic.
I think so.
And what was that?
I don't know.
Well, he's there.
There are a lot of unknown numbers.
This is exciting.
Chris? Okay, there's an unknown number that nobody's on.
Oh, he might not have had his microphone ready and things like that.
Well, the hell with him. All right, we're going to sign off anyhow.
Yeah.
All right, have a good night.
We'll come back. We're going to look at...
Wait, it sounds like we have a reporter. Oh, my God. Doesn't it sound like we have a reporter in the field?
Yeah, in a hurricane.
Yeah, this is Chris Palmer reporting from the scene here. We have this situation. I don't really know how to explain it, but...
All right, well...
Okay, have a good night.
We're saying goodbye because that is the worst thing I've ever heard. You would have loved it.
This is the most dramatic end.
Okay, on that note...
Okay, goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye. Bye.